Hey everybody, it's David. Welcome to the Believer Center podcast. At the end of this episode, please take a moment to subscribe to our YouTube channel and download our free Believer Center app where you can access all our recent message content. It's the easiest way for you to share all of this content with a friend and keep up with everything going on around here at Believer Center. But most importantly, we hope this week's message helps you as we follow Jesus together. Enjoy.
I'm gonna really sit close to my notes today because I have a tendency that sometimes that I will hit certain veins and I'll just go off preaching and kind of leave my notes hanging. But as Tave and I were flying here, I started literally just interceding and started praying about the service. And the next thing I know, God just began to download me. And I just began to type and begin to put down the very things that God began to speak to me. And it's something that God has previously put in my heart concerning the body of Christ. And I want to speak to you today about that. And that is this: radical thinking for radical Christianity. Radical thinking for radical Christianity. Now, when we think of the word radical, which I think that word has been hijacked a little bit, and we always think about radical, we think about terrorists, we think about people doing bad things. But in actuality, if you dive into the definition of this word, it is absolutely amazing, and it describes Christianity to a T. Matter of fact, when you hear this, you're going to find out that Jesus was as radical as you could possibly get. That's the reason that he was upsetting the establishment and the tradition of men that were around him. He was upsetting religion because of the way he was acting, the way he was doing. We don't think it's radical because we look in the scripture and we're just, go Jesus, this is amazing. This is phenomenal. But listen to this definition. I'm going to break this down. The first definition of radical means this: of going to the root or the origin of something. Going to the root or the origin. What does that have to do with Christianity? Well, listen to this. In Genesis, the first chapter, verse 26, then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. He created him male and female. He created them. And then it says that God blessed them. So the root and the origin of who we are as Christians goes back to, we were created in the image of God. We were created in the likeness of God. We do not pray, our Father who are up in a tree, because I didn't come from a monkey. I was created in the image of God, our Father who is in heaven. But listen to this. This is great, because he's not just in heaven. He's in me. He's in you if you've received Jesus as the Lord of your life. And then it says another definition of radical is this: forming a basis or foundation. Forming a basis or foundation. In Christianity, if we're radical Christians, what is our foundation? Listen to 1 Corinthians, the third chapter, verse 11. For there is no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. That's our foundation. Our root and our origin is we're created. I'm not confused about my identity. I was created in the image of Almighty God. He created them male and female in his image. And then it says the foundation of my Christianity is Jesus Christ. There is no other foundation, like there is no other way to heaven. Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No man, no woman, no human being comes to the Father except through me. There are no other windows. There's no other doors. He is the only door. There is not a ladder from somewhere else that you can climb up. He is the only way. He is the truth, the way, and the life. So don't be confused about that. A lot of people in religion are now really confused about that, but don't be confused. Just stick to the word and hold on to it, and don't stray from it in any way, shape, or form. But now here's one of the definitions that I love. Radical. It is a person who holds or follows strong and extreme convictions. Convictions. Yes, I am extreme. I am an extreme Christian. Yes, I'm going to go back a little bit to the 70s and a little bit to the 80s. I am a Jesus freak. Period. No matter how old I will be, I'm always a Jesus freak. But now listen to this, because some people say, well, that's extreme. But listen to the definition of extreme. Are you ready for this? It means this: of a character or kind farthest removed from the ordinary or average. Whew. I love that. And where would we pick that up in Scripture? 1 John 4:4. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. If God, who created the universe, lives in us, that would make us not ordinary, but extraordinary. And I don't say that with pride. I say that with joy. And I live it with confidence in who God has made me. He lives on the inside of me. So I'm not just the average Joe. Forgive me if your name is Joe. But I'm just not that average person. Actually, in reality, and I don't say this with pride, I say this with humility, but I am above average. Do you know why I'm above average? Do you know, if you're a Christian, why you're above average? It's because you are seated in heavenly places, in Christ Jesus, above all principalities and powers, above everything that is here in this earth. I don't put myself above. God put me in Him above. So if I'm in Jesus and Jesus is in me, I think you're a little bit above average. Can you say amen? So in 1 John, the 2nd chapter, verse 2, in verse 6, it says this: he who says he abides in Him ought to himself to walk just as he walked. And the word walk there means to live and to behave and to conduct themselves just as he did. And he's talking about Jesus. But now here's something else. See if this word kind of sticks out with you a little bit. The antonym of radical that you can find in the dictionary is the word non-essential. Hello. Welcome to the world. Non-essential. Ever heard that word thrown out? It's almost like we, as the Church of Jesus Christ, we're like non-essential. That's because somebody is trying to label us. Somebody is trying to convince us that we're not essential. Well, I'm going to tell you right now. Number one, God is essential. Jesus is essential. Holy Spirit is essential. And the Church of Jesus Christ is essential. Essential. Essential to what? Essential to the Great Commission. We're the only ones that have the truth. Amen? So why do you think that everyone that is not living for God is trying to shut us up and lock us up? Because we're the ones that have the absolute infallible truth of God's Word. That's just absolutely amazing to me. But today, in Christianity, I'm very sadly seeing Christians move more by the spirit of fear and the fear of man more than walking in the boldness of their faith and living the life that God has called us to. And so many Christians, they are confused about the issues of the prevailing culture and that are confronting Christianity, confronting the Church of Jesus Christ. The spirit of fear. I want to talk about that right now. Because that's what I see, the prevailing spirit. It's one of the strongest spirits that the devil has to get men and women to start to cower back and to begin to question themselves and to become confused. Let me tell you what the spirit of fear will do if you allow it to reign in your life. The spirit of fear will steal and expunge your value, worth, how beneficial you are to the advancement of God's plans and purposes. It will completely exterminate your confidence, and it will always point out and try to convince you that your weaknesses, your shortcomings and failures of the past, and it could be even the failures right now in the present, disqualify you from having a successful future. The spirit of fear will invalidate that you are called by God to achieve His purposes and help advance the kingdom of God. The spirit of fear will try to persuade you that you must cope with the problems that you have and issues because God's promises don't apply to you. The spirit of fear will convince you to embrace failure along with a lifestyle of compromise and concession to the pressures of the culture and peer groups and so-called friends, or you will be rejected and laughed at. The spirit of fear will create confusion by questioning God's love, His word, His power, the fulfillment of His promises, even questioning God's existence and the reality of Jesus Christ. And I see much today in the church. I see like the church is almost acting like Gideon in the Old Testament when his life and his family were being majorly affected by the moral issues and the environment of his nation that caused a gradual decline and a departure of serving and worshiping God from God's people. Listen to this in Judges, the 6th chapter, and let's look at this account. Judges, the 6th chapter, 11 through 16. It says, "Now the angel of the Lord came and sat under the terebinth tree, which was in Ophrah, which belonged to Joaz the Abrazite, while his son Gideon threshed wheat in the winepress in order to hide it from the Midianites." The Midianites were like, if we want to relate anything to the Midianites today, it would be like the Hell's Angels that would go into a town and just rip it apart and take everybody there, and then they're gone. That's kind of a modern day illustration of the Midianites. They never planted down anywhere. They just went in, raided, took, stealed, destroyed, and then they were out. And they would do that constantly. And then they realized in Israel, they could do it in Israel because nobody would put up a fight. So they just kept coming and stealing everything that they had. So it said, and the angel of the Lord appeared to him. Now, this is amazing to me that the angel of the Lord comes and the angel of the Lord says right here is sitting under the terebinth tree. A terebinth tree was a place where they literally worshiped Baal. Was a mighty oak, and they would use it to worship and sacrifice to foreign gods. And the angel of the Lord comes and sits right there underneath that tree to get Gideon's attention. Did you know God can show up anywhere? Anywhere and everywhere He can show up to get our attention. Nothing at all really can't oppose him. Nothing deters him. And so the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, "The Lord is with you, you mighty." And the word mighty there means powerful champion and warrior. Remember, he's hiding in the winepress. He said, "The Lord is with you, you mighty and powerful champion and warrior, man of valor, man of courage." And Gideon said to him, "Oh my Lord." I mean, Gideon's sitting there like a lot of us when God would show up, wherever He would show up in our lives and said, "You mighty man or woman of valor." And you and I would go, and we would try to look around and see if He's addressing somebody else, because so many times we don't see ourselves the way God sees us. We allow others to label us. We will allow others to speak or say things into our life, that we embrace that sometimes more than we embrace in the way God sees us and what God says. And he says, oh my Lord, he said, if the Lord is with us, then why has all of this happened to us? Ever been there? God, why is this happening to me? Two things, and you're going to see this in just a second concerning Gideon. Two things are happening here. Number one, things happen to us if we get out of the will of God. If we get over into sin, get over into the devil's territory, oh, he'll let you just skip through the tulips and sing kumbaya and drink and sip lemonade, and it looks like that nothing's going to happen, but once you get out there far enough, he's going to bash your head in. Because you got to remember, the devil hates every human being. That's the reason he wants to destroy us. He hates us because we were created in the image of God. And so you can get into this position and place at times in your own life that you just think that, okay, God, why has this happened to me? You know, so if you're outside of the will of God, you know that, because the Holy Spirit is what? Holy Spirit's not going to beat us up. The devil will beat us up. Holy Spirit's going to come to us in a loving, graceful manner and say, hey, this is not who you are. Come on, come out of this. This is not who you are. You know where this is going to end. Don't do this. Come on out of here. You know, he will bring conviction in our lives. Not condemnation. Holy Spirit will never bring condemnation because there's no condemnation in Christ Jesus. He's always bringing us back to the truth. And he'll not give up on you. Even though at times we grieve him in things of our life. But when we get out there, he's always there to pursue us back. Listen, even when Peter cursed, denied Jesus, Jesus came after him. Even told the disciples, he said, hey guys, let everybody know and tell Peter. That's it. I can't tell you how that has ministered to me in my life. But the other thing is this, the enemy comes after you when you're doing things right. He comes after, we live in a fallen world. We live in a world where there's principalities and powers and rulers of darkness. And living in a fallen world, and you're starting to do things for the kingdom of God, do not question what is happening. Don't question God. You know where it's coming from. You know what's happening. We don't wrestle with flesh and blood, but with principalities and powers and rulers of darkness and spiritual hosts of wickedness in high places, and they all have our number. And they want to do everything they can to discourage us and stop us. And get us to a place that we'll just back off, cower off, and run away. But that's not who radical Christians are. And when you leave this place today, you're going to be a radical Christian. You're already a radical Christian, but today I'm going to call it out of you. I'm calling out the champion and the warrior on the inside of you. You're not going to be silent. You're going to roar with the roar of Jesus. You're not going to allow your voice to take a vacation. So he says, oh my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened? Well, now listen to this. They had allowed the Canaanites, the influence and the voices of prevailing culture to influence their thinking and conduct. Therefore, they began to backslide and sin, but at the same time, they continued to carry on their religious services. And then he says this, and where are all of his miracles which the fathers told us about? It is amazing sometimes when the pressure comes on and things are not working out the way we want them to work out. We kind of drift back into the past and remember all the wonderful, wonderful, great moves of God and the things that took place and the things that happened. If only we could go back. And I remember this and remember that. When it's the same God that did the moves back then, that is still moving today. It's the same. He's the same God. And he says, I do not change. He said, and then he says, did the Lord bring us up from Egypt? Did not the Lord do that? But now, listen to this. This is what happens when things start going wrong. But now the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us into the hand of the Midianites. In other words, what they were doing, they blamed God for the result and the consequences of their sin and disobedience and spiritual adultery. Then the Lord turned to him and said, this is crazy. He didn't sit there and go, you know, I didn't even think about that, Gideon. Wow, you're exactly right. Oh my gosh, can I join you in the wine press? Can we just sit here and have a self-pity party? You stroke me, I'll stroke you, and we'll just nurse each other. And is that okay? That is not the way God operates. Even when we're feeling like this, even when in all this craziness is going on, God turned to him and said, go in this might of yours and you shall save Israel. He didn't just say, go in this might of yours and you're going to save your family. He's talking to one man about saving the whole nation. Come on. Can you imagine what God could do through you if you could only see and hear and know what he wants to do? That's the key. We need to turn on the voice of God and turn off all these other voices that are speaking to us. So he said, go in this might of yours and you shall save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have I not sent you? So he said to him, this is Gideon coming back again. Even after this, it's almost like in the South, it's, if God was saying that to me, I would look at him and say, bless your darling heart. You have no idea what you're talking about. You have no idea what you see. And Gideon says, oh my Lord, how can I save Israel? Indeed, now listen to the next statement. Indeed, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. In other words, I'm weak, I'm the least, I'm the nothing, I'm the nobody. And God said to him, surely I will be with you. You're always in the majority because the presence of God is always in you and with you. Always. He said, surely I will be with you and you shall defeat the Midianites as one man. Now listen to this very carefully, because this is something that changed my life many, many years ago. Because of his present circumstances and past issues, what did he do? He labeled and identified and named himself. And it's amazing because his dad was an influential man in the community that time. And it is almost as if he is labeling himself because he's hearing things that are coming out of conversations in the house. And he's identifying with that. You have to be very careful what you say around your kids. You have to be very careful the way you act and the things that you do. And so he labeled, identified, and named himself. And what did he name himself? Remember what we just read, and you can go back and read it again. He named himself insignificant. He named himself weak and worthless. He named himself and labeled himself fearful and failure, abandoned by God, no longer loved by God, and totally forsaken by God. The way that he is now seeing himself, the labels and the names that he has given himself is now dictating his thinking and behavior, limiting his potential, deterring his future and destiny, and fear now has become his restriction to achieving and accomplishing the purposes and the plans that God actually had for him. You could say the same thing about any church today. He exiled himself to Never Never Land. Oh, we can never do this. We can never do that. We can't. See, things are not just working out. They're not lining up the way it should. So I can't do that. That's not who you are. He confined himself in the enclosure, or I can't, nothing will ever change, if only, I remember the way it used to be, but now it's over, I'll probably never see what used to be. That was his mentality, that was his thinking, that was his label. But God shows up with a whole different perspective and a spiritual statement of truth that contradicts and challenges his fear and belief system. Let me make this statement. God is not concerned about your evaluation of yourself. He's not. You can look and you can think about all that you want to and feel like I'm nothing, I'm innocent, I'm worth, I don't do that. God looks at that and he's not impressed by your evaluation, because your evaluation didn't come from him. It came from your circumstances or your present issues or other things. He's not concerned about that because he sees in you what you right now don't see in you, but he sees in you his potential on the inside of you. So he knows your potential through his power and that he is inside of you. Listen, your potential is not a what. What if? What about this? Your potential is not a what. Your potential is a who. Your potential is not based upon your biological family that you came out of. Your potential is not based upon what you have or you haven't done up to this point. Because this man that we know of has not done anything. He's cowering back. But God shows up and says, hey, son, that's not who you are. Let me tell you who you are. You're much more than who you think you are or what people have labeled you and said that you are. It is amazing how God shows up in this pulpit. Because I know your pastor's teaching. I've listened to your pastor's teaching. I've listened to Pastor Marshall and Pastor Cindy and Pastor David. I know their teaching. I've listened to their teaching. And every single time that they show up, every single time anybody shows up in this pulpit, it is the Spirit of God calling out to us. It is the Spirit of God speaking to us. That's the reason Jesus constantly said, he that has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying. But today, much of the church is, he that has an ear to hear, let him hear what social media is saying, what the news organizations are saying, what other people are saying. It's almost like we get so caught up in that. No wonder we're so depressed. No wonder we don't have the vitality and the joy and the warrior and champion mentality. We're listening to the wrong voices. Who is his potential? The potential inside. Listen, the potential inside of you started when the church started in the book of Acts. Listen to this. Jesus said to the disciples, but when you receive power, when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, you shall be. Now, they'd already been born again. John the 20th chapter, I think it's around 22. And they had seen the risen Savior. Jesus walks up to them, breathes on them and says, receive the Holy Spirit. They were born again. They've seen the risen Savior. He says, receive the Holy Spirit. And now he says, don't go without the power of the Holy Spirit. It's what we call the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And he said, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And why? So you will be witnesses. Witnesses. So people can see that my potential on the inside of me, the person living on the inside of me, is the great and mighty and awesome God. The person on the inside of me is the Lord Jesus Christ. The person on the inside of me is the Holy Spirit of the living God. And guess what? He is my potential. So I can face any issue and I can look at my weaknesses, but like Paul, I can say, but when I'm weak, that's when I'm strong, because of the power of the Holy Spirit living on the inside of us. And not only that, the power of the Word of God, because God upholds all things by the word of His power. Listen, because people a lot of times, well, I don't know if I can live this life. I don't know if I can do this. Listen to me, you champion and warrior. The Bible says in Philippians 2:13, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do His good pleasure. Don't ever say, I can't. Anything that has to do with the will of God, don't you ever look at that and say, I can't do that. You can do all things through Christ. Not just anything I want to think, but when it comes to the will of God and the call of God, I can do all things. Yes, there will be obstacles. There will be there'll be hindrances. There'll be problems and issues and circumstances that arise. But I know He's called me. I know He's in me. And no matter what, just like we sang a while ago, I'm going to the other side. I'm coming through this storm. I'm coming through this issue because God's got a purpose on the other side for me. So it's like He told, when David said, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, notice he walked through. He didn't camp out. He kept on walking. He kept on moving. Even when death was all around him, he kept advancing. He kept going. And that's what we have to do. See, God will always speak truth to the champion and the warrior in you, His beloved sons and daughters, and He will address your potential in Him and for Him. God doesn't deny the problems, the issues, the circumstances, or the difficulties that confronts us or confronts you in this city or in your state or in the nation. But He sees the answers. He sees that His sons and daughters, the church of Jesus Christ, as the answer. God and His Word, the Holy Spirit in you, is your potential. God, the Holy Spirit in this church, in this place, that is your potential. It is your potential. It is who, not what, is your potential. And your starting point is your potential and the ability in every situation. God, His presence, His Word must be your starting point. In everything that you do, He must be your starting point. So why is the voice and the roar of the kingdom of darkness louder and more prevalent than the voice and the roar of the body of Christ? I think here's a scripture that explains it to us. Proverbs 23:7, in the first part of it, says this: for as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So as a man thinks in his heart, as a woman thinks in her heart, so is she. Let's talk about thoughts a little bit, because the battle's right here. Every action, your behavior and conduct is rooted in the thoughts that produced it. There is a reason that God instructs us to take every thought captive that is not in agreement with His Word or will for your life. If you do not take captive those thoughts that are contrary to God's way of thinking, then you will become captive to those thoughts which produce wrong actions. If you don't discern the thinking and the terminology of the prevailing culture as totally contrary to God's Word, then you will be captured by its deception and find yourself in direct confrontation with God's Spirit. Because He said, if you become a friend of the world, you become an enemy of God. I didn't say that. James said that. But listen to this. Romans 6, chapter verse 16 says this: don't you realize that you become a slave to whatever you choose to obey? Whatever you choose to obey. And the reason it says whatever, because the whatever comes after the whoever gave you the thoughts and planted the seed. Don't you realize that you become a slave of whatever you choose to obey? You can be a slave to sin, which leads to death, or you can choose to obey God, which leads to righteous thinking. So what does God tell us to do with thoughts that are contrary? Voices around us, those thoughts that are contrary to His will and to our lives. Listen to 2 Corinthians 10, chapter verse 3 and 5. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. Aha! So the words and the voices that we're hearing, it's because we're in a war. Started in the Garden of Eden. And so it says this: for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, not fleshly, because our enemy is, we don't wrestle with flesh and blood, but principalities, powers, and rulers of darkness. So it's, you can't fight that with the flesh. He says, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments in every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Why is that so important? Because the Bible says in Hosea 4:6 that with the my people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. Isn't it amazing? He didn't say my people are destroyed by the devil. He said my people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. And I like to say it like this. We are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. And then if we have knowledge and don't act upon it, that's a sin of omission. And so he says, against bringing every thought into captivity to obedience of Christ, which means to the obedience of the Word of God. So radical righteous living, action, and pure moral behavior is generated by righteous thoughts that are empowered by the Holy Spirit so that we can be imitators of God in this earth. Man, heaven and listen, this earth is waiting for the manifestation of the sons and the daughters of God. People that will be bold, people that will step out and speak truth. But listen, when we speak truth, we don't do it in condemnation, we do it in love. That's what's different about us. That's what's radical about us. We speak truth in love. And if somebody turns from that truth, I am not trying to compromise my truth so that everybody will like me and accept me. I'm going to speak truth because even the rich young ruler, when the rich young ruler came to Jesus, man, he could support his ministry. He could do phenomenal things because the man was rich. But Jesus spoke the truth to him in love. And the rich young ruler looked at him and said, I can't do that. I can't handle that. And he turned and walked away. And you know, Jesus did. Wait a minute. Come in. You can really be beneficial to me and the ministry. Because you've got a lot of assets. You got a lot of things. Let's just talk about this. No, he didn't do that. And it saddened Jesus' heart that he rejected that. But he let him go. Sometimes you got to let folks go. You cannot compromise what you believe and what you stand for and truth just because it could be beneficial for you for a moment or a time. You got to speak truth to people. In Ephesians, the 5th chapter, verse 1, it says this, imitate God, therefore, in everything you do because you are His dear children. Live a life filled with love, following the example of Christ. And then it goes on and gives us a whole lifestyle there that doesn't belong to us. But here's what he says. He says, imitate God. What does the word imitate mean? It means to follow, to endeavor to follow as a model, as an example, to reproduce closely and to have the appearance and the characteristics of. How is it possible to do that? It is God who lives in us. Folks, this is amazing to me. I am seeing so many people that says, I can't live that standard. I'm telling you, you can. It doesn't mean we're perfect. It doesn't mean that we don't make mistakes. We're still human. We still live in this flesh. But I'm going to tell you, starting to lower God's standard, no, we can't do that. Nobody can do that. Matter of fact, God says, no, I put you up here. I've put myself on the inside of you so that you can live this life. We're supposed to be different. We're not supposed to be imitators and model the culture. The culture needs us to be different. If we're not different, there is no hope. There's nothing, no standard for them to look for, to be hungry after or go after. It doesn't mean that we're mean and self-righteous. It means we're serving and we're loving. And we're caring. And you know what the world wants more than anything? You know what Jesus said? This is one of the most amazing statements to me. Jesus said this. He said, the world will know that you're my disciples because of your love for one another. People are hungry for love. If they see us bickering and biting each other and criticizing and why do they have to have that around the drums? I don't understand. Why do they have? That's none of your business. You're just supposed to come in here and worship. Worship God. It doesn't matter if this carpet is green, purple, red, whatever, or the seats, whatever. You're to come in to worship and to love one another and receive the word of God. Can you say amen? So he says this, imitate me. Paul says this, imitate me just as I also imitate Christ. And we desire that each one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end, that you do not become sluggish. By the way, you want to know what the word sluggish there means in the Greek? Lazy and stupid. That's what it means. I didn't say that. He said, but, in other words, he said, don't start imitating and modeling after people who don't walk with Jesus. You're going to lose your identity. He said, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Beloved, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. 3 John 1:11. He who does good is of God. He who does evil has not seen God. So radical thinking, your thoughts are either going to make you or hinder you. Your thoughts are either going to advance you or retard your growth spiritually. Therefore, wrong thinking makes a way for negative behavior, and righteous thinking makes a way for righteous behavior. How do I develop this radical thinking that God wants me to have? It's in Romans the 12th chapter verses 1 and 2. And most of you know that. It's present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. And then to renew our mind to the Word of God. We've allowed the world to renew our minds, renovate our minds with new world thinking. No, the Word of God will never pass away. If it is not your foundation, you're going to have a hard time living in these last days. It must be your foundation. It must be the foundation of your children. And where do I develop this radical thinking? It's in Ephesians the 4th chapter, verse 11 through 16. And you know what's there? It's called church. It's called pastors, leaders. That's what it's called. Even Jesus, even the Apostle Paul in Hebrews said, forsake not the assembling of yourself together with the brethren as you see the day approaching, as many already have. What day approaching? The return of Jesus Christ. Folks, don't get lazy on your spiritual life. The devil will see that, just like terrorists will look for weaknesses. The devil will see that, and he will come in. He will deceive you, tempt you. He'll take you into a place that you wish you had never gone. You've got to build your spiritual life. You've got to build it. You've got to keep on building it. Well, you know, Pastor, I'm retired now. What does that mean? What does that have to do with what I just said? Has nothing to do. Well, you know, I'm going to take it easy. You better not take it easy. Devil will kick your butt. You don't want to take it easy. I don't care how old you are. You don't take it easy. You get more radical. The older you are, you can be more radical because people think it's cute. Well, he can do that. You know, he's a little bit older. Yes! Be radical for the kingdom of God. Can you say amen? It is time, listen to this, it is time to build and rebuild our lives for a radical Christian life, because these last days depends on us shining brighter than we've ever shown before. Our church is to be on fire with God, on fire with the Holy Spirit, on fire with worship, on fire people seeing that we are different. And people saying, hey, you're different. I am different. And let me tell you why I'm different. Let me read this last scripture, because I'm already gone over. We have some Native Americans in our church. They have nicknamed me Chief Long Wind. Listen to Acts the 20th chapter. This is out of the Message Bible. I love this. So he says, I didn't skimp or trim in any way. every truth and encouragement that could have made a difference to you, you got it. I taught you in the public and I taught you in your homes, urging the Jews and Greeks alike to a radical life change before God and equally radical trust in our Master Jesus Christ. Radical trust. Would you bow your heads, close your eyes for just a moment? I just want to give you an opportunity that if you've never made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, you're going to be like a fish swimming with the current of this culture, and they're going to take you anywhere and wherever they want you to go. But if Jesus is your Lord, Jesus in your life, you're going to be a fish that's going to swim upstream against the current. And you're going to go and deposit great things in people, and you're going to make an influence in people because that's what you were created, who you were created for. Jesus Christ came because He loved us, because the Father loved us, and He gave His life so that our sins could be forgiven. That's the key, is the darkness of our lives is sin. And He came to deliver us and set us free from that sin. And I want to say to you today, even if you've never received Jesus as Lord and Savior, but one time you did and you've gotten away from Him in some way, form, or fashion, the love of God is here calling you back. When Jesus said you must be born again, He didn't say you must join a religion. A religion or being confirmed in a religion cannot get you into the family of God and cannot get you to heaven. Being brought up in a Christian family, you're just association with that, but are you really born again? You must be born again. Jesus said that you must be born again. And at that point, when the Holy Spirit comes to live on the inside of you, then He begins to open your eyes. Your eyes are open against real, begin to real reveal to you purpose and meaning to life. Outside of that, you'll be frustrated and empty. And He wants you. He wants you because you belong to Him. He doesn't want to lose sons and daughters. He loves you so much. If you've never received Jesus as the Lord of your life, or you did it one time and you've gotten away from Him, you know what the Bible says? The Bible says it's so clear. He said, if you repent of your sin, God said, I'll receive you. I'll receive you. See, God's never left us. We walk away from Him, but He's not walked away from us. So I want to pray, and if you say, Pastor, I want to be born again today. I want God to forgive you of my sins, and I want Him to come live in my life. Or, Pastor, you know what? I haven't been living the way I should be living, and today I want to be that radical Christian. I want to repent of my sins, and I want to come back in to work right where I need to be. If you want to pray that prayer with me right where you are, just simply raise up your hand. Just say, Pastor, that's me. I want to receive Jesus as Lord of my life. Or, Pastor, my life is not right with God right now. I want my life to be right with God. And then we will pray. We will pray. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And because we're on live streaming, I want us to pray this prayer because I believe there are people viewing us right now that need to be born again. You agree? I agree because I pray. Let's pray. Father, let's all pray this out loud. Father, I just thank You today for Your love and Your mercy and Your grace. I ask Jesus Christ to be the Lord of my life. I repent of all my sins and I ask Your forgiveness in the name of Jesus. I thank You now. By faith, I receive it, and I declare Jesus is Lord. Amen. I want to do one other thing real quickly. I want you to, everybody here, I want you to just raise your hands for just a minute. Just raise your hands up to the Father right now. And I want you to say this with me. Father God, as Your son and daughter, I want to be a radical Christian. And I'm asking You right now, just as You did for the disciples when they were being persecuted and they called out to You to give us boldness to speak the word and do the works that Jesus did. Here I am. And I'm asking you right now, from the depths of my heart, with sincerity, I'm asking you, fill me to overflowing with a fresh anointing of the Holy Spirit and boldness to be who you created me to be and to be light in the middle of this darkness. Thank you, Father. I will not allow myself to become sluggish or lazy, but I am going to pursue you with a whole heart, and I thank you for it. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen and amen. Amen.